You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, Keyshawn Johnson and Jason Williams.
What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Key got that big smiley face
Key,
on
today. You have a smiley face on and then seem like
He's
you went
a happy
weird.
Guy.
It seemed like I what?
Y'all came up with the Let's Ride remix. Let's
you
ride.
Said it seems like I what with a smiley face?
No, you like, you know, you got the smiley face on, you're like, hi.
Well, it's about
it's I didn't want to
zero in the morning where he is.
No, we good. That's easy, man. Dodgers won again, 111 wins, you know, set a record. I mean, I'm just chilling. I ain't, you know, wait for Thursday night football, you know, and see what the Broncos and Indianapolis can do. See if they can make it a game.
Well, it's going to be a real shootout, huh? It's going to be a shootout, the Colts and Broncos.
Line
Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. Boy, it's going to be a new day in those two towns.
Line of the day yesterday, Key. He said it's the Colts versus the Broncos. Which horse you picking? Yeah. Who's the better horse? That's the excitement for tonight's game.
Yes, which is the better horse? Can't wait to have a conversation about the slowest horse race ever. The dust up, the little bit of a dust up in Golden State. Can't wait to have that conversation. That'll be interesting to hear. You know, obviously the over-under, the pace, just all the different things that we're going to be doing this morning. Can't wait.
He slipped into press conference mode for a second. I can't wait to hear about it's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah, he just forgot to say let's ride at the end. Let's ride.
So anyway, look, Colts at Broncos. Broncos are favored by a field goal, meaning the odds makers are saying, man, these teams are this, you know, same level. And you know what's the funny thing about the NFL? Short week. Two bad teams so far, not the worst teams ever, but they have not lived up to expectations, obviously. And so it's like, this is kind of a dud of a game for the prime. But the way the NFL works, watch it be, you know, they're going to go into overtime. It's going to be tied up. There's going to be seven touchdowns scored on each. You know, like it's one of those leagues, man. Like the NFL is a just when you think you got it figured out, it throws you a curveball league. But before we get to the matchup, what about Russell Wilson and his slow start? Key, you were like, I don't know why everyone thinks that Russell Wilson's going to put him over the top because they're not ready to win the whole thing yet, and Russell Wilson isn't that dude anyway. And they got a new OC and a new head coach, and he's in a new place. By those standards, do you think he's off to a slow start, or is this more or less what you expected?
It's pretty much more or less – They're not running the football nearly to the level that they should be. In fact, they lose their running back for tonight's game. But, you know, when you go and you get a guy like Russell Wilson, your team needs to be where Peyton Manning was with the Denver Broncos, where Von Miller and company, DeMarcus Ware and company, and Tlaib and company prior to snatching the chain was they were good. They just needed a quarterback. This team was not good. They had a good running game. They had one or two pieces. They got the young piece in Sertan. And so I understand how everybody got hyped about, but one of the things that I always point back to is when Stink was on our show and he covers the Denver Broncos. He played for the Denver Broncos. He won Super Bowls for the Denver Broncos. He talks to people like John Elway that he protected for so long. That's Mark Slareth, nicknamed Stink. When he was on our show, he simply said to us, if you remember Jay and Max, even if they got Aaron Rodgers, which I think by most people's standards, Aaron Rodgers is a significant upgrade from Russell Wilson. He said they wouldn't even make the playoffs. So if a guy that's in the building, essentially, is saying this, he ain't saying it because he just don't like the team. He's saying it because he sees something. He knows something. And so, obviously, I start to follow that. And I'm like, Yeah, he's right. Their defense was okay a year ago under Vic Fangio, but their defense wasn't DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller and Tlaib and company. That wasn't that defense. And so they just figured, I guess, they would add Russell Wilson, and instead of being 2-2, and 2-2 is not bad, but it's just what it looks like. It doesn't look good.
What about you, Jay? Like, Russell's – what about specifically Russell Wilson? Like, I hear everything you're saying. That's right. I mean, you know, I don't know why people expected him to set the world on fire. But Russell Wilson's off to a slow start.
I mean, he scored 2 touchdowns, 2 passing TDs. He ran for 1 the other game, 23 points. They didn't come out to a win versus the Raiders. But the offense at least didn't look like it was at a stalemate like it's looked the past 3 games, right? So I do take that as – a step in the right direction for the offense. As Key mentioned, look, when you don't have guys like Randy Gregory, I'm not saying he will ever be Von Miller, but their defense is missing a game-changing front 7, right? So the combination isn't there. I think this is all kind of falls in line with where we saw Denver. I don't think anybody saw Denver winning the AFC West, did you?
Right, no.
Yeah, right? So if we had them as the 3rd or 4th best team, is it clicking on all cylinders? No. But I am taking them to win this game tonight. They are 3.5-point favorites at home against a Colts team that is struggling. Now, I know that the Broncos don't have Javonte Williams. I know that hurts, puts more pressure on Melvin Gordon II to do his thing. But
who, by the way, a couple of years ago was considered, is he going to be a star running back, right?
Yep, but the Colts not having Jonathan Taylor, right? This guy was in the MVP conversation last year with how they're actually playing, coming off that game against the Titans. They have to get this game at home.
So, yeah, the crazy thing about the Broncos is it's not like they have a bad record right now, and they haven't looked good. And somehow they're treading water. They win tonight, and you look at them, and they go, oh, okay, they haven't started playing well yet? They might be okay. Here's Nathaniel Hackett, the Broncos head coach, who, to me, and Key, after we hear the sound, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, looks like he's been in a little over his head so far, but we'll see. How concerned is he about the run game?
We got to evaluate everything. We got to look at it. And, you know, all our guys that, you know, they have done things good in the past, and whether we got to block it better, secure the football, all those things. I mean, you got to run the football in this league. That's my opinion. That's our offensive philosophy. So we got to find better ways to run the ball and be able to secure the ball at all times, but we'll get better at that.
Key, what do you think?
Yeah. I don't know what happened to their run game. I mean, obviously you got a new system in play, but you would think that they would keep some of the same principles that they had a year ago. When they rushed for about 1,900 yards as a unit, as an offensive unit, they rushed for about 1,900 yards. And so I don't know why they've gone away from those sort of things. And he is right. You got to run the ball in this league. And if you're not capable of running the football, just check the box with the Los Angeles Rams. They can't run the ball. And if you're not running the football, check the Baltimore Ravens. Outside of Lamar Jackson, they haven't been able to run the ball. Obviously, they got Dobbs back, so it looked a little bit different a week ago. You just got to run the ball. You take the pressure off the quarterback. Russell Wilson is a run support. He needs the running game to support his style. He needs a defense to support his style. And when you don't have that, you get a different type of player.
Key, before we move along quickly, Nathaniel Hackett beat out guys like Eric Bieniemies of the world for this job, obviously, right? Because he's the head coach. Is he in over his head? How's he look so far?
I don't know that he's in over his head. I think he's on the job training. And I don't think when you're on the job training, you're going to get what you're looking for in that investment.
Broncos offensive coordinator told reporters Melvin Gordon would obviously carry the load with Javonte Williams out for the season. We shall see what the running game does.
Max, the Colts have not scored over 20 points in a game yet this season.
Yeah.
20 in overtime against Houston.
Oh, that's a whole other
take
story.
The under. What? I'm with you, Yates. Take the under. Matt, let's make some money tonight. Underdog. That's how I'm looking at the game.
I will say it again. They got a 3rd-round pick for Matt Ryan. Like, you know,
I'm
that
taking the over.
Good.
You're taking the over?
Yeah.
Do you know what the number is? Yeah.
Whatever. He's just saying he's expecting more offense than people
it's
think 42. Is going to happen.
No, you said they haven't scored more than 20. I'm talking about the Colts.
Oh, okay, you think they're going to score more than 20 points tonight?
Yeah, they will. Tonight they will.
By the way, the Warriors, Golden State Warriors.
You watch, Jay.
Okay.
They're reviewing Draymond
Green.
Like,
damn, Key, how did you know?
The Warriors are reviewing Draymond Green's altercation with Jordan Poole. If you hadn't heard about it, they got into a dust-up yesterday.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's ride. All right, speaking of let's ride, so my wife is set to be induced on Thursday of next
Mazel
week.
Mazel Tov.
Thank you. Expecting
Mazel Tov. Yes.
Thank you,
Keith.
Thank you. Yes. Yom Kippur yesterday. Exactly.
Yes, it was. Yes, right.
Look at that. Look how that works.
In honor of Yom Kippur, I said yes. Mazel Tov today.
I couldn't even drive fast over the last couple days.
So, thank you. I ate fast and easy.
So you don't participate in Yom Kippur.
No, Yom Kippur. I skip
I'm with Max. Whatever Max does, I do.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, wait a minute. You can't just skip it.
I do Passover.
Are you allowed to skip it?
Yeah, I'm not religious, Jay. I'm cultural.
You're cultural.
That's right.
Oh, I like the way that is. Enunciated. Enunciated. Articulated. Anyway, back. So my wife came up. She is going over all of her baby notes, getting ready for the child coming into the world. And it's about 5 pages of baby notes. Like 5 pages.
Man,
and
she's
like,
aced the test the first, the second
here's
time.
The best,
why
okay?
She got to study
when
the notes again?
This question. Well, I'm saying it to you in case you want to, you know, read up on things. Now, I'm getting set. This is during our pre-show meeting. I'm at work. And I'm like, I mean, can we just throw the ball on the court and go play here? I mean, do I need to read up on scouting reports from 4.5 years ago? A lot of things have changed, right?
When you say baby notes, these are notes that she jotted down during her experience?
Oh, I mean, I'm talking about 5 pages of notes from different articles, different magazines, different conversations she's had with other mothers.
Yeah. What's wrong with that, though?
Key, did you read any baby books before any of your kids were born?
No, but I went to the classes.
What classes? Like the birthing classes?
Whatever classes
like
they told me I had to go to with them.
Did they come in handy? what do you really do? They stand there and go,
it came in handy because it was a support system there for the, you know, so it came in handy.
Man, the support is I got cursed out.
The lady name was Miss Jackie. Miss Jackie in L.A. area is like big time. Everybody at the like literally, Jay, I'm talking about in your neighborhood, take 10 towns over. They know Miss Jackie.
Everybody's,
you know,
like,
Miss Jackie before, you know.
Was it like breathing key and all like the
everything.
The spiritual words that you use and
everything. I just played along. And
my great-grandmother gave birth 19 times. When she was
19 times?
My great-grandmother. When she was, you know, she'd be working in the field or something in the old country. The kid comes out, you go back to work. Like, I don't know how many spiritual words you actually need.
She had 19 kids?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, well, not everybody survived back then.
True.
Yeah.
How many kids did she have?
They 8 that made it. Yeah, 19 births. So I guess maybe this stuff works, right?
Oh, my God.
We're back in 10 seconds. Yeah, it's a lot, man. Old country, man.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are on the ESPN app now. You might be listening on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, you know, Channel 80 or your smart speaker, whatever. You might be watching us on ESPNU, but we're on the ESPN app. So if you have your phone on you right now and you're like, oh, I got to be somewhere, I got to want to be on the move, I'm not going to be in the car, I want to listen to these guys. You go to the app, you click on it, it says more on the lower right-hand corner. Click on that, scroll down, listen live, we're right there. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So, guys, the Warriors are reviewing Draymond Green's altercation with Jordan Poole. Green reportedly threw a punch at Poole, their teammates, obviously, on the champion Golden State Warriors. And they were at practice on Wednesday. It's yesterday. And every now and then, they give him a knuckle game, a test. But I don't stress. I just get rid of the stress. And then shake hands like a man because it's a family thing. Only the crew will understand. That's before your time, Jay.
Yes, it is.
All right, listen.
Still nice, though.
Yeah, the two had been, you know, verbally going back and forth, some pushing. Okay, it's kind of normal stuff. It escalated when Draymond took a swing and made contact. The Warriors are considering disciplinary action against Draymond for escalating the practice encounter, Jay. What can you tell us?
So, look, should the Warriors key suspend Draymond for a day or two? Yes. Especially if he connected. Are you connected on a punch? Yes. Is this a big deal to me, though? No, man. I mean, we got in fights all the time during preseason in college and in the pros. Like, this kind of stuff happens.
You've been boxing since you were a kid. Did you do well in those fights, Jay?
I mean, I stood on the outside and watched.
Okay, gotcha.
More so than engage. But, sure. I mean, stuff like this always pops off, especially when you have Draymond Key, who was yapping all the time. Like, the thing that does make it interesting, though, is that Draymond and Jordan Poole are up for extensions. And there is this sentiment that I feel when I listen to Draymond talk on this pod and hearing him this offseason about him not feeling like he is being appreciated, like his value is appreciated. He wants to sign that five-year, $167 million extension, right? You got Jordan Poole, who's up for a rookie extension, worth probably $188 million. So at the end of the day, the fact that both these guys are up for extension, who feels more valued, there's tension escalating around that. Yeah, stuff's going to pop off.
Makes sense to me.
So you think that they got into it based on who's going to get the contract?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm saying stuff always pops off, Key, but I think there is – I've always known Draymond to be somewhat calculated. And I'm just going to throw it out there. You know, look, this sometimes is a pecking order. And sometimes for the younger dude, you need to represent or you need to understand who this dude really is, who I really am. And I think sometimes Draymond likes to send messages to younger players or people in general about what his value is.
Mm. It makes sense to me, Key, because when you think about it, they're both up for extensions. Dre will be 37 at the end of the extension he wants. So the team is probably thinking he might be slowing down a little bit. Do we give him the money? On the other hand, he's the heart and soul of the team. Like, what do you do, right? He, along with Steph, kind of redefined basketball. So what do you do with him? So that's up in the air. Meantime, you know they like Jordan Poole. So he's the hot young thing, yeah, and he's coming up. And Dre is probably thinking, hold on, young fella. Like, there, as Jay said, there's a pecking order here. Probably a little resentment under, I would imagine, if it was me.
Nah, probably not, man. I doubt it has anything to do with the contracts. If anything, when people, when guys, through my experience in looking at or being in locker rooms or whatever the case is, or having issues with teammates of my own, it's usually a jealousy factor. There's something there that, you know, there's something there.
Well, not what would be
not
there?
Money. Uh-huh. It's just something. It could be a million different things. It could just be you getting on my nerves because you always talking and running your mouth. It could be.
But
other,
Key, when you said jealousy, what if the team, like, because look, so Myers, the general manager, said that the ideal goal is to extend everyone, right? Because also Wiggins is coming up.
And Joe Lacobs has no problem going over.
Lacob will pay the luxury tax, a great owner. But he acknowledges, GM acknowledges, there will be difficulties, and the Warriors don't seem overly eager, you know, that they're going to give Dre priority here. So when you say there's jealousies, it may not be just the dough, but what that also represents in terms of your kind of standing on the team. And if I'm Dre, I'm like, hold on. I'm a, what are they up to, four-time champion as really the crime partner to Steph more than anyone else. I'm the guy who allowed, you know, small ball to exist, the death lineup, five out, modern basketball, his pick-and-roll partner, the do-everything man, and I'm being lumped in with this dude who just got here?
Yeah, but first of all, Draymond's going to get his money. It might not be at the level that we might think, but Steph Curry is going to make sure he gets the money because he realizes that value, the friendship, not only the friendship, but just what you just said about getting them four championships and on the quest to get many, many more, even though the age factor looks a little bit different. Sometimes you overpay for certain things, and if Joe Lacob and the Golden State Warriors feel like the luxury tax isn't an issue, I don't see why paying people would be an issue.
Key, I think this is going to be more fascinating than what people think here, because you got, obviously, you know, Steph guys is money. You have Klay Thompson, who's coming off an injury, right? Played last year, but still, you know, questions around he didn't play in the preseason game, about him being fully healthy, coming up on a contract the following year. You got Draymond, you got, you know, Jordan Poole extension, you got so Wiggins extension. I think the Golden State Warriors are in a really interesting predicament. And as much as we're going to sit up here and say that, yeah, Draymond Green is part of the culture, the DNA, has four world championships, you know, the counterpart to Steph, as a general manager or owner, you do have to start looking at what is in the best interest of the franchise to continue to stay younger, to help Steph continue to build his legacy.
I agree.
And
but
I'm not sure that Draymond Green fits into this picture
long-term. If you do that, though, Jay, if you're missing Draymond Green, you're getting ready to miss a whole lot.
Understood, brother.
And why do you think Draymond is made? Unless you can go find that same identity,
not
that guy.
Not growing on trees, man. That's hard.
If you can find that guy right there, Jay, that you know, whatever it is that he brings to the table, if you can go get that guy, you should go get him.
Yeah, but
that guy in that style ain't walking around, just walking around the streets. That type of guy is not walking around the streets.
No, his name in Toronto, the forward who everyone reminded everyone of Draymond. Now his name is escaping me. On the Raptors. I'll think of it on the break. But anyway, the point is, yeah. And wait, say it again, Yates.
OG Anunoby?
Oh,
OG,
yeah, Anunoby. Yeah, Anunoby.
Oh, okay.
Anunoby.
OG.
Yeah, OG.
He's.
But the point is,
he's different than Draymond. Remind me of Draymond,
wait,
man.
That's my point. But when he was coming up, there was talk about maybe he could be like that. To Key's point, it is hard to find a Draymond Green. But I agree with your analysis that what's interesting about it is you got to be smart. You can't just let your emotions take over. You got to get younger. You got to get better. You got to constantly turn it over. But also, you'd be ripping the heart and soul out of the team if you didn't have Draymond, right? Like, it's a tough spot to be in.
I agree with everybody. It's a tough spot. But it gets to a certain point where, yes, I recognize your value and being a defender and being the heart and soul of the team. But is that worth X amount of money?
Yes.
When
Not when I have younger pieces that have helped me carry the load. And I'm not sure Klay Thompson is going to come back to being who Klay Thompson was. That's also a deciding factor in this, man. Like, Klay Thompson has been getting shots up this entire offseason, but, you know, you're still wondering about, will his legs hold up? Will he get back to that original self? And that's where Jordan Poole factors into it. That's where guys like Wiseman, you have a lot of younger players too, man. It's not as easy as just pay him whatever he wants to be there for the next 5 years.
It's the right franchise to be dealing with this. They're like the model franchise in terms of how you wish your team would run. But these are not actually easy choices, I don't think. Is Lamar Jackson playing this season better than his 2019 campaign where he won the MVP?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Okay, we're 4 weeks into the NFL season. It's over or under, on pace for a time. Guys, Saquon Barkley currently leads the NFL with 570 scrimmage yards through four games.
Hey, Max, you got to bring in Shannon.
He is on pace to finish 2,422 yards in 17 regular season games. Take it away, Shannon.
All right, sorry about that, Max. I'll chime in here. So the premise of this, what we're doing here, 4 weeks into the season, there are several players, teams that are on pace for some crazy numbers. So we wanted to look at, through week four, some of these numbers and whether or not these players, these teams can keep up these crazy numbers. As you mentioned, Saquon Barkley. So I'll lay it out here for you guys. Saquon Barkley leads the NFL with 570 yards from scrimmage through four games. He's on pace to finish with over 2,000 yards, actually 2,422 yards in 17 regular season games, which would be fourth most all-time, only behind Calvin Johnson, Marshall Faulk, and Christian McCaffrey. So, Key, I will start with you. Over or under 2,422 yards for Saquon Barkley this regular season?
I think he's under. I think he gets slightly under. When you talk about these sort of players, Calvin Johnson, they threw the football at him so he could get there, right? He wasn't returning punts and kicks and things of that nature. Marshall Faulk was just a Swiss Army knife, just like Christian McCaffrey. Ridiculous. Carrying the football, catching the ball out of the backfield with teammates around him. He had better players. Those guys had better players. Saquon Barkley is just all out there in the trees by himself.
Yeah, I'm going to go under as much as I would love to see it as a Giants fan and a Saquon Barkley fan. I just think with the boxes that are going to be stacked up against him, we often talked about the Giants being a one-dimensional type offense, right? I think at the end of the day, he'll be somewhat close, but I don't think he's going to get over.
Look, I predicted it before the season, so I'm going to roll with it. However unlikely it may be, I think he sets the all-time record 2,500 yards this year.
I'll tell you what,
even though that's true and that makes it harder for him, it is also true that you can do different things with him. I think Daboll will do that as the season goes on. And who else is there to carry the offense on the team? It's all Saquon and Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
right?
but you got to have
something to loosen it up. I get it, but I think he could also catch passes out of the backfield. It doesn't have to all be rushing yards. You know what I mean? So I'm going to say over.
All right.
All right, moving on. Justin Fields has only thrown for 34 completions so far this season. I'll repeat that. 34 completions so far through four games for the Chicago Bears.
I wonder how many quarterbacks in a single game in the league this year has thrown for more than that.
Exactly. Well, to put it in perspective, Key, Cooper Kupp, one of your favorite receivers, Cooper Kupp has 42 receptions so far this season. So Cooper Kupp has caught more passes than completions for Justin Fields so far this season.
Wouldn't work if they were on the same team.
No. Justin Fields is on pace to finish with 144 completions in 17 regular season games. So, Key, over or under 144 completions for Justin Fields this season?
I would say over. I'd say it's over. I mean, it's early in the season. They're trying to get an understanding for who he is and calling certain plays. I think down the stretch he gets a little bit better. Heck, man, Chicago, you know, they're going to try to fight for a fake little playoff spot at some point in time. So I'm sure they're going to be pushing the ball down the field.
I'll say over. I think it's going to be close. It's pretty apparent that Matt Eberflus wants to run the ball with David Montgomery and their style in which they've been playing. But I do believe that as they keep having that play action, that things will open up and that Justin Fields will settle into the game more and more as the season progresses. So over.
I'm going to say over. I just can't imagine it being under. That's such a low total. As the season goes on, you get a little more comfortable. You throw it a little bit more. You got to see what you got, too. So I'm going to say over.
He might be at 145.
You really think about
that?
Maybe
not by a lot.
Every quarter of another quarterback's game could be a game for
quarterback
for Justin Fields. For attempts. Yeah, anyway.
All right. The Detroit Lions, which have been one of the more surprising teams so far this season, they're on a blistering offensive start of the season, scoring a whopping 35 points per game, giving them a pace of 595 points this season. So over and under here, Keyshawn, with the Detroit Lions, over under 595 points scored for the Lions this season.
Over. I would say over. I mean, look, they're not going to slow down. They run the heck out of the football, and their defense hasn't been playing as well as they would have liked. So they're going to be, you know, having to play catch up and scoring battle for battle, point for point. So, yeah, I would say over.
I would say over. I mean, watching Hard Knocks and then watching this team play, I'm liking this team more and more and more. Just in what Dan Campbell stands for, with how Jared Goff has been approaching the season, the way that they fight to get back in games. Key, you mentioned their running game. Even if they are down, like they play for something. Not a lot of teams play for something. That's
what
the difference.
Playing for.
Well, they're playing for. I mean, they're playing for something. They're playing for like their integrity, Key. You know, and we've both been on teams where teams lay down, man. Teams quit. Like this team has no lay down in them.
You know what I'm surprised about? I agree. I think the scoring will slow down. I'm going to take the under on the scoring. But Jared Goff, like that's if you're flipping Matt Stafford, getting all the draft capital, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to take the quarterback, too. We need a quarterback. Not bad, man. 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's top 10 QBR. I think he's like 8th right now. Former number 1 overall pick. Not a bad little consolation prize as you're trying to rebuild, right? Like, he's playing well. He's playing well.
I told you, Max, he's not a bad QB. I tried to tell you. I'm like, nothing's wrong with Jared Goff. If you got the right situation, nothing wrong with him.
Nothing wrong with
him. He can be goofy at times, but, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are goofy.
There's a reason he was picked 1 overall and went to a Super Bowl, by the way. Like, it's not because he can't play. Anyway.
Yeah, we're playing over-under here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're looking at certain numbers, teams, players through week 4 and seeing if they can keep up those numbers throughout the season. Go ahead and laugh, Key. All right.
Key's well, so silly. Key and I don't even need to say nothing. Just looking at him makes me laugh.
Well, Max did mention number 1 overall quarterback. So speaking of surprising teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars are off to a surprising start. They lead their division with a 2-2 record. And right now the Jags are on pace for 8.5 wins this season, which would be their highest win total since 2017. Key, over under 8.5 wins for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm gonna say under. I'm gonna say under. Yeah, I think they get right at 8. It looks cute, but I think they get right at 8.
Let's go through. So they're at 2 now. I think they beat the Texans. I think they beat the Colts. I think they beat the Giants. That's 5.
You're just handing out wins.
No, I'm not.
Right, like they M&Ms.
I'm telling you what I think. Yeah. I think they could beat the Broncos at six.
I don't like that Giants pick, Jack.
They'll beat the Jets, Texans. I think they'll be an eight.
Yeah, so I'm going to take.
I think they'll be an eight.
I'm going to take the under, too. You know what I like, though? I like his price on DraftKings this week. Oh, I think he's undervalued, Trevor Lawrence. That's right. You pick him up for, I think it was $5,300 in DraftKings. Pretty good. I might build my whole lineup around that. Anyway.
So under, yeah, eight. Eight and a half, damn it.
Yeah, there you have it. I agree. We all say under, Shannon.
All right, moving on to the Miami Dolphins. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle have proven to be one of the best wide receiver duos this season, combining for a total of 858 total yards receiving through four games combined. This would give them a pace of 3,646 combined receiving yards this season, which would smash the previous franchise record of 2,695 yards by Dan Marino's 1984 Dolphins, which were Mark Duper and Mark Clayton. So over under key, 3,646 receiving yards for Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill combined.
Key?
Under. Yeah. They're going to be under. They're going to be under. They not – those bombs and bombs away against the Ravens and stuff like that, it's going to be under.
I would probably say under just because I'm uncertain about Tua.
Right.
I think having uncertainty about Tua would probably make me lean towards under right now.
Yeah, I'm taking the under because of Tua. And, by the way, it really drives home the point for me. Like, Bridgewater's a nice backup. I think there's a significant drop-off, actually, between him and Tua. If Tua were there – I would have a harder – it's still a lot, right? But I fear that the way they handled him, bringing him back on short rest and then it happened again, has graver implications for the rest of this season for him, and I hope not his career. But
you think it's a drop-off? Wow.
I do. I think there's a drop-off between – like, Key, the whole thing about, hey, that guy is good, he can do it. For every Geno Smith – and we'll see if Geno can keep this up, right – there are usually the backup. He could do it for a little bit, but if you expose it too long, it's not the same.
You know, Teddy Bridgewater is really not a backup.
He is now, Key. He had plenty.
He put a backup role.
Yeah, but he's had chances to get jobs, and he hasn't over time. And I like Bridgewater. I'm a fan. Over time, to me, he's been exposed as a nice backup to have, but not a starter, at least not anymore.
Yeah, see, he hasn't been in an ideal situation. You go to Carolina, he was there 1 year. Now the coach is getting ready to get fired, okay? Mm-hmm. And the quarterbacks that have replaced Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina, right?
So that's true, too.
So what does that look like?
You look at Baker right now, and it's not so good.
He could be a starter, but there still is a drop-off between him and the way Tua has played, Key, in the first four games of the season.
I knew Key wouldn't think so.
Tua was top five in QBR. He led the league in passing yards. Like, there is a drop-off. That's not like Tua and Teddy Bridgewater are exactly the same thing.
I watched Teddy Bridgewater come in the Cincinnati game. Didn't see no difference to me.
That's disrespectful, man.
Looked the same to me.
That's disrespectful,
It didn't
Key.
To me quite.
It looked the same to me.
But he obviously, I'll trust your eyes more than mine about that kind of stuff.
In Denver, I mean, come on, man, stop. Yeah, that Denver's a mess. It was a mess. I'm just saying, it ain't that big of it ain't a drop off. That's just me. But I could be wrong.
Well, I'll take the under.
Yeah, under, because in New York, come on, man. Nobody, they're not just gonna be running up and down the field like it's a track meet all day.
Yeah.
All right, Justin Herbert has thrown for 1,250 passing yards so far this season, which leads the NFL. He is on pace for 5,312 yards this season, which would be the fourth highest single-season total behind only Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady. Over or under, Key, 5,312 passing yards this season for Justin Herbert.
I'm going to say over because they're going to have to score points because their defense isn't playing great.
Yeah.
And when you got a guy that can throw the football and got a couple receivers that can catch it, and that's your strength of your team right now, you go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, Jay.
I wouldn't even throw it out there. Could we have a 6,000-yard season?
I brought
this
it up
season?
Before the season.
I mean, with how he's going to have to throw the ball and how they're going to have to manufacture so many points, I think this is going to be a record-breaking season. Justin Herbert.
Before the season, I said Herbert could go mess around, go for 6,000 yards. I think without the blindside protection, Slater's out for the year. That means that, because that also affects the run game. They're going to have to throw more, but also without the pass rush, they're going to give up more points, and they're going to have to throw more. I'm going to say over 5,300 yards, probably under 6,000, but I'll take the over on 5,300 for Herbert.
All right, the last quarterback we're looking at here as we're doing over and under here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Lamar Jackson currently leads the NFL with 11 passing touchdowns to go along with two rushing scores to give him 13 total touchdowns so far this season through four games. He is on pace to finish with 47 passing touchdowns and 8 rushing touchdowns to give him 55 total touchdowns this season. Key, over under 55 total TDs for the former MVP.
I never knew a receiver could throw for 11 touchdowns in a season already.
Yeah, we don't need catching the counting the balls he caught, right? He can catch some too.
I would say over. I think he'll get to 60 total touchdowns.
Yeah, I'll say over too. I know, Max, you said it from the beginning that he'll get to 60.
60! That's what I'm saying. Over. Take the over all day on Lamar. If he stays healthy, the man is doing an Aaron Judge this year. 60.
Who else do they have? I mean, that's the point. He has to do everything all the time.
Come on, man. And he's out there doing the Mahomes. You just saw that little shovel pass.
Yeah, he'll get some cheap touchdowns, you know, some cheapies. He'll, you know, run the ball, obviously. But he'll also light the airways up. I'm rolling with 60. I may even go a little higher. I may go 65. Yeah. He may
62.
Shatter
62. I'm telling you, he's doing an Aaron Judge, whatever Judge it. Key, are you watching some of these passes? Are you watching the monitor right now?
Oh, yeah, but I'm not, you know.
He's throwing laser beams leading dudes.
Key, I don't want to speak up on the monitor. That's why I say that.
I wanted to pick your brain on something for a second. What do you
sure,
think is the
difference? What do you want me to lay down like this, like that? How do you want to pick it?
Oh, jeez. Nasty ass. What do you think is the difference between Lamar this season as opposed to his MVP season?
Really, he's just a little bit better passer. A little bit, not
accuracy,
not much. Well, he was accurate. He's always been accurate to me. All you got to do is put it in the area, put it in the wingspan, put it where the guy can catch it. He's always been able to do that. But when guys are dropping balls, he gets that credit, and that credit don't look good. And people always have this, or will always have this certain narrative about his ability to throw the football, just like Jalen Hurts. It's just something that comes with it because they like a certain style. It don't look right. Like I said, we talked about yesterday, here's an MVP, and I don't ever see him on any commercials because it doesn't look like they want it to look. And because of that, they judge things a certain way. But he's certainly gotten better at everything. He got better at running the football. He's gotten better at running out of bounds after picking up 30, 40 yards. He's got better at sliding when people get near him. He's gotten better at so many different things, and his receivers are better. Mark Andrews, the tight end, is better. You know, you got Duvernay better. You got Bateman young and better. Mm. So I'm looking forward to him doing some stuff.
Okay, I want to tell you something because, first of all, I think there's a division in the NFL – that's basically going to be the bidding for Lamar Jackson division if and when the Ravens don't get a deal done, right? But and I'm
so you think the Ravens aren't going to get a deal done?
I was always wondering because the price tag was 250 fully guaranteed. It's going up if he has a 60 touchdown season, that's going up. But listen to this: Warren Sharp, who does Sharp Analytics, in 2019, I remembered this article and I just Googled it because I remember reading at the time thinking, "Huh." He says the point is you are wrong about Lamar Jackson. Okay, that was the point because people thought he couldn't pass. There have only been 11 quarterbacks. This is about his 2019 season in NFL history to attempt at least 150 passes when they were 21 years old or younger. Lamar Jackson was one of 11. Where did he rank in passer rating? Number one of 11 who ever lived in the NFL who attempted 150 passes or more as a 21-year-old or younger. He was number one in passer rating. Matthew Stafford, Alex Smith, Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Drew Bledsoe, among others. Number one as a passer. So he's saying you're wrong about Lamar Jackson. Higher yards per average and a better passer rating in his rookie season, Lamar, than quarterbacks, than these quarterbacks drafted above him over the last several years. This is going back to 19. Ready? Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Sam Bradford, Carson Palmer, Peyton Manning, Carson Wentz, Mitch Trubisky, Sam Darnold. Okay? So, et cetera. And it's one thing after another. So, as a passer, so my point is this, guys. When you're 21 years old and you are the best ever in terms of how effective you are at that age, what makes people think that even if you don't keep that same trajectory, the eyeball test does tells you he's not going to be as good as Peyton, let's say, whatever you want to say, you think you're not going to get any better by the time you're 25? 2000, that was 4 years ago.
They just max, man, like I just said, they want it to be a certain way. And if it's not that certain way, they're not going to tell the story. We could make it, we could tell the story about any player we want to and make it seem a certain way. But when you really watch football and you really break it down and you're paying attention, it's totally different. You asked me the question, Jay, and I was thinking, what was the first game that I saw Lamar Jackson just unleash his arm that made me go, oh, damn. It was the Monday night game against the Rams when they opened up a can on the Rams at the Coliseum on a Monday night in his MVP season. He unleashed it on them. And I was sitting back there going, he dropping dimes. And so I've always known he could throw the football. I can go back to Louisville and watch it, watch him play at Louisville and know, oh, man, he can do this. So that's why I'm always puzzled when people say, well, he needs to work on this, he needs to do that. They all do. They all need to work on something. Mm-hmm. Hell, Tom Brady still got stuff at 45 years old he needs to work on.
But the point is, as a passer, what's the difference between him now and then? 4 years of experience.
I just want to tie it back to your original point because you said that the NFC South would be the biggest bidder. So
yes.
Are you talking about not saying that Tom's going to be with Tampa Bay that much longer? Are you talking about, obviously, Jameis Winston, New Orleans, that's not working out. Carolina with Baker, we know that's not working out. Marcus Mariota, even though I do like him with the Falcons, they're extremely competitive. But you're saying that's going to be the biggest bidder.
If you look at the NFC South and you look at the quarterback situations, there's a real chance – that they are looking at, oh, my God, just like Deshaun Watson, we can get Lamar. Remember, Deshaun wasn't a free agent, but it wasn't going to work out. So he was essentially a free agent in the sense that whoever bid the most, he was going to go there. He was going to choose, right? Well, here we have a situation where if Brady retires, they need a quarterback. The Panthers need a quarterback, and they have an owner who will spend the money and will
Max,
take big
swings.
But
he's not going to be a free agent.
No,
he can't leave.
But neither was Deshaun. Neither was Deshaun. But if you can get it to the point where everyone knows you got to go – Then will go to the highest bidder?
I don't see Lamar trying to force his way out of Baltimore. That's just not his personality. Hmm. Deshaun didn't want to deal with that in Houston, and then all the other stuff came up.
Right. If he plays a year without a new deal, at the end of this, I don't think he's going to play another one, do you? How many surefire good teams are there in the NFL right now coming up?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.